Our reading for Thursday, July 2nd, begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. When he gets into chapter 13, he's going to address this more in depth in terms of how these things should be viewed and what's truly important. Now, I would point you back to what we've discussed a few times throughout our reading of 1 Corinthians, and that is that they had a problem with divisions. Those divisions came from people trying to choose something that might make them look better or exalt them in such a way. So they would say, "I am of Paul," or "I am of Apollos," or "I am of Christ." And even in chapter 11, when we were talking about the Lord's Supper, there was a focus on self rather than a focus on the whole. And in chapter 12, he's really addressing the same kind of an idea of just thinking about myself instead of thinking about the whole. And I want myself to be looked up to or exalted or lauded. And that comes at the expense of the whole. And that's what he addresses here. So he says, concerning these spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed, or I don't want you to be ignorant, might be a way we could think of that as well. It says, when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, that is, idols that were vain, they had no value, They were not real as far as having any power or any gods. They were primarily from the mind of man and the hand of man. So then, in verse 3, he says that, "I want you to understand," and he begins to explain that you can't be against Christ and be for Christ at the same time. So I deduce from verse 3 that there may have been some people that were claiming to have some spiritual gifts that didn't really. And that was evident by them saying some things that didn't make any sense, saying some things that no person that was a follower of Christ truly would. Then in verse 4, he says, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God." So he's trying to take that focus off of self and place it back on God and on the whole body of Christ. He says, "Each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good," that is, for the betterment of the body, for the edification of the body. One is given wisdom, then knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishment, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But verse 11, he says, "These are all empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to one individually as he as he wills." Now, when we're talking about the Spirit as he wills, we are talking about the will of God, really. The Spirit is sent by God, and it does a work assigned by God. And so anything that it does is the will of God. Now, as we also think about this idea of all these different types of gifts, the point is that God knows what he wants to accomplish. God knows what he wants to happen because of giving these particular gifts to particular people. He wants the whole to benefit. But if we focus on self and we laud self at the expense of the whole, then the whole does not benefit the way God intended. So verse 12, he begins to describe this in terms that they and we would understand, using our own body as an example. Now we think about our own body and we wonder, well, why did God make us the way that he made us? For example, doctors say, well, you don't need two kidneys, you can live on one kidney. You don't need two lungs, you can live on one lung. We can remove the appendix, we can remove the tonsils. They think about all these things and they see them as perhaps dispensable or disposable, but they're not really. We have two kidneys. Why? Because it's more efficient that way, it does the job better that way. While you can live on one, it's better to have two. Coming from a music background where we used to measure lung capacity, I can realize there is great benefit to having two lungs instead of just having one lung. That we can see that there is design behind the way our body works. Even in terms of the appendix, it has been said in the past that doctors did not see a need for the appendix, didn't see what function it plays. Yet God made it. It has some function, even if we can't see it or we don't understand it. So when he's talking about our bodies and how we might view a part of it, what part of your body would you like to do away with? I understand that we say we'd like to lose weight. I'm not talking about extra weight around the middle or something like that. No, I'm talking about parts of our body. Would you like to do away with your pinky? I mean, you could do without it. You could handle having four fingers on your hand instead of five. You could get by. But does that mean you're ready to get rid of your pinky? No. Same thing would be said about your toes. You want to get rid of that pinky toe? No. And I'm telling you, when you stub that pinky toe, what are you going to do? You're going to cradle it. You're going to try to take care of it because it hurts. We don't decide, I don't like parts of my body, so I'm just going to get rid of it. Some of the way that he describes this is, you know, it seems absurd, but he's making a point. He says, You know, if the foot should say, I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, well, that would be absurd. Where would we get by without one of our feet? Where would we get by without one of our hands? And he says, even if it did say this, it would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, well, there's your envy. There's your strife within the body. Just because we might value eyesight over hearing, does that mean we want to get rid of our hearing? I'm not sure I want to get rid of either one. I value both quite a bit. It says, even if you did say, well, you know, I'm not that more valuable part, does that mean you want to get rid of it? Does it mean it is less a part of the body? No. And then he uses verse 17, if the body, whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Everything had a purpose, and they all worked together for our own good. So one of the problems with, for example, getting rid of a sense of hearing is that it changes the way you interpret your environment. You're not able to heed warnings. You're not able to communicate in the same way. Might even affect your balance. If you don't have your sense of smell, that takes away our enjoyment of many things, but it also takes away a warning system that is there, part of our senses. Which senses would you decide are you know, unworthy or that you don't need? If all were a single member, where would the body be? There are many parts, yet one body. So verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Where would the eye get off saying that? Why does the eye get to decide whether it's more important? Why does the eye get to decide if the hand is not useful, not needed? Why would the eye get to decide, we'll get rid of the hand? It doesn't. The eye doesn't own the whole body. That belongs in a different realm. It belongs to God, and it belongs to the head of the body. And of course, we're talking about the church. He's using our physical body as a description for that. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. We cover up those parts. And the parts that are more tender, we put a little more clothing on those areas. Those areas that are more tender, we protect in different ways. You know, you want to go out and do some work outside, you'd probably put on a pair of goggles to protect your eyes. You might put on a mask to protect your breathing and protect your nose. Put on gloves to protect your hands. If we're going to war and we're battling others and where we might get hurt, well, we would wear body armor that would protect our parts that are vital. You know, I could get shot in the arm, for example, and as long as I don't bleed to death, I will probably survive that. But if I get shot in the stomach or in the chest, it's not likely that I would survive those nearly as easily. So we protect those parts that are more vulnerable. So it says, God has composed the body, giving greater honorable to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. Just like stumping that little toe, we cradle that toe, so the body of Christ should be that if one is hurting, we're all hurting, and we cradle that one. And he gets into that, talking about rejoicing and suffering. If one is honored, all rejoice. If one suffers, all suffer together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Verse 27. God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? In other words, do all do the same things? No. Does that take away their value? No. We need to care for all of the body, and we need to realize the value of every part of the body. I look at the local church, and I don't see anybody that I would like to get rid of. It doesn't matter what role they play. It doesn't matter how visible that role is or invisible that role is. We all work together for the building up of the body of Christ, to do the work that the Lord has assigned to us as a collective, and individually we're doing the work that God has assigned to us as well. And so we value each other, we take care of each other, we love each other, and we're not trying to focus on self to the detriment of the whole. No, we want the whole to succeed. And so he ends with the chapter with earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And of course, in chapter 13, we're very familiar with the chapter of love, which we'll get into tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening today. I hope this has been a benefit to you. I ask you that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.